It's back for 2014, the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.
It's that time again. Time for another Football Sack Podcast, and with me is Pat. You've done the wave. You did what Christian did yesterday.
Normally you go to Christian first.
I know. I mixed it up. I did a late formation switch.
I didn't know if you said Christian or Pat. Moving on.
You said Christian, but pointed to me.
Yeah, that's right. I did say Pat, didn't I?
You did say Pat.
I did, so I can confirm I was looking at you at the same time. So anyway, hi. And hi, Christian.
Hey, how good is it? A quarter of the way through the World Cup.
Yes, and three quarters to go, my maths tells me, which is a good amount of football. Mm. 45 games or something to go, which is fantastic. We are recording the Football Sack Podcast from the Southern Cross University Radio Studios. Thank you very much to them and our sponsors, Banking on Football. Most people can name their favourite players, the coaches, even the support staff of their favourite team, but can't name the CEO of the bank they have their life savings with. Why not bank with somebody who shares your passion, bankingonfootball.com.
Yeah, I love it. I've been with them since 2005, since the Football Sack started.
Yep.
And I loved it. I wouldn't be with anyone else. When they came to us and approached us to come on board, we couldn't be happier because we know the service they provide, and I love it.
Not just you that's with them, I'm with them too.
So am I. I've actually got my home loan with them.
There you go. So we've earned the cash that they've deposited with us, so that can just go straight into our accounts because we've all got accounts there.
And if they could just give me a... just change the interest rate a bit lower.
Yeah, that's right. Just knock it down. I think you wrote that into your contract for the podcast, didn't you? Yeah, that was part of your endorsement deal. Excellent. We are going to wrap up quickly last night's show, and then we'll have a quick look ahead to, of course, the Socceroos, the big game that we're all petrified of tomorrow morning. And we are talking to special guest Danny Teato, former Socceroo. Danny Teato joins us on the show. So, one of my favourite players. I used to love watching Danny play. So let's jump straight into last night's games and wrap them up for people who are listening who somehow don't have the internet but can get this podcast. Belgium 2, Algeria 1. So the golden generation's off to a good start. Brazil held to a draw by the Mexicans. Who saw that coming? I did. I bet on it.
Ooh, you won a few dollars on it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just to touch back on that Belgium match, this is again another example of a team scoring first and losing.
Yes.
Which shows the tactical genius of Ange Postecoglou.
By letting Chile score first, absolutely, yeah. Yes. Which you got onto, and we all thought, well, there you go. Now we know for sure.
But where they went wrong, they let the second one in.
So yeah, that was where the plan fell apart. Yes. Ange knew when the first goal went in, he thought, good, yes, excellent. Second goal, nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
Because he's always ahead of his compatriots. So at Brisbane Roar, he was ahead of his time in the A-League, and it took a few games, like half a season, for Brisbane Roar to get used to the new style.
Yes.
So it's going to take one or two games for Socceroos to get used to the new style, allowing the opposition to concede first.
Yeah, it took half a half for the Socceroos. But, you know, once they got it right, and once they pegged it back to 2-1, and it was a one-goal deficit, we were fantastic. So that was obviously the game plan he wanted from the start, but we just conceded that second goal too quickly.
Yeah, so against the Netherlands, expect us to concede quite quickly.
Yes.
And then we'll be the best side for the rest of the game and probably equalise.
I believe the takes are we're just going to turn around and just kick it down to Matt Ryan, who's going to turn around and just belt in his own net and go, yeah, good, let's go, and we'll fire up. And that's pretty much should assure us, well, a 50% chance of winning the game, judging on the stats, which is probably more chance than we have at the moment.
That's right, so we might as well, what have we got to lose?
Yeah, I love the way we're previewing the match that we aren't going to preview until we started off by talking about Brazil-Mexico. And, you know, I don't care, because I don't think we have many Brazilian or Mexican listeners, because I don't speak Portuguese.
Well, we do actually have quite a few Brazilian listeners, but I dare say they're all Australian who listen Australian while they're in Brazil.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good shout. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, they probably would rather hear about the Socceroos, I'd imagine.
That is true. Yes.
So Ochoa for Mexico.
Yeah, which apparently he's clubless, isn't he?
Yeah, not for long, I wouldn't imagine.
Great way to put yourself in the shop window, isn't it, with a performance like that?
Stunning effort from him to keep a clean sheet. Several great saves, and I think it was a good point for Brazil because Mexico could have stolen that game. They were getting on top towards the end.
Oh, they really were. They end up being the side of the ascendancy end. And the thing is, now both sides are on 4 points. We've seen in previous World Cups a lot of teams get through on 4 points. So, I mean, if Cameroon and Croatia get a draw, then those two could almost be home and hosed already.
Yes. Of course, let's move on to the biggest game of this morning and the first signing of the superstar of this World Cup, the comb-over ref. How good is the comb-over ref?
Mate, I've been Googling him all day, mate. I'm looking for autograph opportunities with him,
The thing is, he's legitimately Googled him. He's not kidding. He Googled the referee.
It's true. The crazy thing was that he's got this crazy comb-over at the moment, but on Google, full head of hair, every picture. So it's obviously a recent thing, and he's just not quite comfortable with his going baldness.
I think maybe he's at the Doug Bollinger school of hair hat wearing in those photos that you're looking at.
Still trying to be young. I think that's the new fashion at the moment, the big comb over.
Is it? Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Ronaldo, yeah, definitely got the part down the side and flips it over, but he's got a bit more to work with. You're not supposed to still be able to see your scalp once you do the comb over. So, yeah, that was. I thought it was Norman Gunston refereeing the game, actually.
To put sunscreen on top of through his hair.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. He shampoos, then conditions, then sunscreens to make sure he doesn't see his scalp.
Yeah, yes. You'll have to mention that Dan Seattle when he gets on the show, because he's going to be similar.
Yes, that's right, absolutely. I'll bring up his hair use products. Excellent. So the Japanese players have an interesting ritual for washing their hair as well.
South Koreans.
Sorry.
So that's Scott Chipperfield in the studio.
Hi, I'm Scott Chipperfield, and welcome to the Football Zone Podcast.
You're putting them in the same basket, aren't you? But yes, the South Koreans, obviously, their shampoo is just straight peroxide.
Yeah, that's right. They do the shampoo condition peroxide, much in the same way that the referee does the shampoo condition sunscreen.
I think the Ranga look is an actual good look at South Korea. That's what they try to go for.
Yeah, well, every single one of them was a ginger, and not one of them was natural, I'll tell you right now. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's not a great look. There was one point in the game where the referee gave a yellow card, and he looked like he was just using colour swabs to sort of compare shades.
I actually seen one. I think one of them had fake freckles on him.
Wow, they are really committing, aren't they? Exactly. Yeah, they've only just got happy days in South Korea, so it's all the rage at the moment.
I also think one of them was seeing Michael Jackson's skin therapist. Trying to get lighter skin.
Going back onto a more politically correct subject, that referee again. I mean, did you actually see how big he was? Like, he's obviously been.
He was
bigger than the goalkeeper.
He has sweated so hard, his hair fell out.
Now, if you want to sweat so hard that your hair falls out, you should probably go to Elite Tennis.
Sign me up.
Because what's a better look than an absolutely massive guy with no hair? Look, honestly, Elite Personal Training, that's probably where this referee's been going to, because he's that massive. If you need to get buff because you're a little weak and need to protect your little girlfriend, call up Dean on 0403-571-582. You want that number again? You can rewind the podcast or download it again, get us an extra number. Or you can just go on our website and click on their ad.
If anybody downloads the podcast again and skips through to get the number, they're an idiot.
And they probably need to get buff because they don't have much hope with their...
That's right. They're not going to win over anyone over with the intellect. Exactly. And they've probably got too much hair and they could stand to lose some.
You noticed something about the referee's costume, didn't you?
Yeah, in the Mexico game, I did, absolutely, because Mexico played Brazil, they had to wear red, which I thought was odd, and I asked why that was, and apparently the reasoning being that FIFA demands that each team have a dark kit and a light kit, which we saw with the Socceroos having to wear gold shorts against Chile, because apparently blue and green are the same colour. But anyway, Brazil was wearing the home kit, which is their light kit. Makes sense, bright yellow, light. So Mexico were forced to wear their dark kit. Now, they wore red this morning, quite a bright orangey sort of red. Mexico's home kit is dark green, which means that their home kit, which is classed as their light kit, is darker than their away kit, which is classed as their dark kit, if you follow that. They're, absolutely. This is the way FIFA thinks.
Well, I'm going to have to rewind that.
You're going to have to download that again.
Now, what's going to happen is if someone's needed that phone number again, so download again to listen, and they get to this point again, they have to download it again, they're going to get three episodes.
Yeah, this is like that Inception movie. It's just people don't know which podcast they're listening to. Or either that. But then you notice during that Mexico game, the referees were actually wearing green. So obviously the real reason behind it, Pat, why are you spinning a pen?
I thought it was Inception.
I just thought you were being really annoying.
I was like, Pat, this isn't the time to piss us off.
Just making sure it's on a drink.
Oh, yeah. Well done.
Apparently this is an actual podcast.
Yes, that's right. And we should actually talk about something before people turn off. So the referees were in green. So obviously what's actually happened, I think, is that the referees have turned up. They've got in the tunnel and seen that Mexico's wearing green. And they did that awkward thing where one of them had to go home and change.
Yeah, it'd be like if your wife, sister, girlfriend, or yourself in drag goes to a party and you've had this dress, planned for months. And you go there and then, Tanya's sister's wearing the same dress. You go, well, I'm not having any of that crap.
Yeah.
You got to go home and change, Tanya. And they have that Mexican standoff.
And that's what it's named after.
Yeah, because it's the Mexicans.
Yeah. And they actually lost this morning at their own game to the referees.
That's ridiculous. That's like the French winning at Waves and losing at Fries. It just doesn't happen.
Let's move on to the big game of the day, Russia versus Korea. Obviously, the highlight of being... Now, the highlight of the World Cup up until this point was without a doubt the England physio Gary Lewin hurting himself celebrating a goal.
Well, it's a little bit of doubt. I think Rooney's corner is definitely up there as
well. Rooney's corner is, yeah, probably just close second, I'd imagine. In that game, the goalkeeper for Russia, Akinfeev, if you haven't seen it, a shot straight to him. I think it's a worse clanger than Robert Green's. Is it worse than Robert Green?
No, nothing's worse than Robert Green. That was really rolling on the ground.
Yeah, but Robert Green sort of had to die for his. Russian keeper just had to, it was hit him in the chest.
I don't know why he tried to catch it.
Yeah,
he dropped everything all day.
Yeah, just palm it.
Palm it over the bloody pole.
But he's basically caught it and thrown it in. So obviously he'll be dropped from the Russian team, which is a blow. But the good news is he's being drafted into the Nigerian side. Right. So yeah, excellent. So
passes all their tests.
Walk up starter.
Yeah, that's right. Which is good. Something else that was picked up on during the Russia game by a friend of the show, Matt Coleman, was that the graphic changed from RUS on the scoreboard on the screen to 11775 for Russia's team name. So that's interesting.
That's the binary name for it.
Yeah, well, binary is only ones and zeros. There's no sevens and fives.
Well, this is Brazilian.
Yeah, but come on, you 11775s. I've supported them my whole life. I'm a big fan.
Good team.
Yeah, excellent. In the end, Russia did draw level, and that finished 1-1. So a good point for Korea, I think, that result, don't you? Good point for Korea, good point for Asia. Asia's now got 2 points in this World Cup.
Oh, excellent. That's good. They're not going to get any points from us, so they might as well get it somewhere else.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Japan might get them some points.
I think so. I mean, the thing is, we want Asia to do well, because the better Asia do, the more spots that are going to be handed to us eventually, and the more chance we're going to qualify for the World Cup every year.
So that's right.
The better the Asian sides do, the better continent seedings are. It's all good news. So let's go, you Koreans.
Yeah, and as we all know with FIFA, it's all about earning your right to be at the World Cup. You've got to earn your right to qualify. You've got to earn your right to host it. Mm. They're all above board at FIFA.
Yes.
Great exactly. organisation. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the Socceroos, which we've sort of already done, but we're going to talk about it with someone who knows what they're talking about. Former Socceroo, Danny Teato, and he joins us right after this. Former Socceroo, Danny Teato, is here to give us his thoughts on the World Cup so far and, of course, the Socceroos game in the early hours of tomorrow morning. Danny, thank you ever so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you very much, guys.
We'll start off, mate, by your thoughts on just the World Cup so far. What have you made of it?
Well, at the moment, it looks like it's a pretty entertaining World Cup. There's been a lot of goals, a lot of action, and Australia at the moment put a great first performance in, even though they didn't get the result, but... end of the day, it's a great step in the right direction for Australian football.
Beautiful. So how do you think we may go against the Netherlands tomorrow night, or tomorrow morning?
It's going to be a very, very tough game. You can see the quality that, the Netherlands has got in the side, and beating Spain 5-1, it was a trouncing, really, at the end of the day. So it's going to be a very tough game for the Aussie boys, and hopefully they don't have a sleepless night tonight, because they're going to definitely have to be on their game tomorrow against a very good Dutch side.
Hey, Danny, what was your favourite Socceroo moment as a player?
My favourite... I don't know. There was a number of them. Definitely when you play for the national side, it's always a great honour, and... there was a great camaraderie amongst the boys as well. So it was always good to get away from the missus every now and then and meet up with the Aussie boys and have a kick against decent opposition and have a drink after the game.
So you've obviously spent time in Socceroos camps and things like that. Would there be much banter and stuff going on with the boys? Have you got any stories from the past, or would it all be pretty straight down the line?
You concentrate those first couple of days in training, and then you play the game, and then basically after the game you can have a bit of a joke and a laugh. But no, there was always entertaining catching up with a few of the boys, after the game and have a few quiet drinks and that. So there was always a few good laughs, along the way, and that's I think why I brought that side very very close and quite. Close-knit team and done quite well.
Yeah, you're only really retired from high-level football not that long ago, so you've actually got a few connections to the current Socceroos camp. How do you reckon they'll be reacting?
I think Andrew's got them all firing on all cylinders. They'd be definitely looking forward to it, especially the younger boys coming through the national side. So like I said, it's a great opportunity for them. You know, you saw the likes of Leckie the other day. I thought played outstanding against Chile in that second half. And it's a stepping stone for those younger boys to progress to the next level and you know, move on to better and bigger clubs in the future. So I think, you know, like I said, it's you know, you're on the world scene and the world stage, and it's important. So I think that's why, you know, the boys all seem to dig in and work hard, you know, and especially with the experienced boys with Timmy and Mark Rosciano and stuff like that. You know, they're just born leaders and born winners, so they won't give up the fight until the last game.
You played under Ange in Brisbane, mate. What's taken him from the coach that he was then to the super coach that he sort of seems to have become over the past sort of 4 years since then?
Well, basically, he's very successful what he's done in the last 4 years. He's done very well with Brisbane, and then, you know, like I said, he went to Victory, and then after that, he got the Aussie job. But yeah, he's straight down the line. You know, he wants to win. He's a competitive person, and yeah, like I said, he's not scared to make changes and give other players a chance. And at the moment, yeah, like I said, he's done well in the national competition. But now with the Australian side, it's another step again, and he's done very well. And you know, hopefully, you know, we can progress a little bit, you know, do a little bit better in the next couple of games, and then look to Asia after that.
What have you been up to since you left the A-League scene?
Well, since I've finished playing football, I've just basically was living in Melbourne for a little bit. Just caught up with a few old Melbourne Knights, you know, a few old Melbourne Knights boys, and played a little bit at the old Melbourne Knights team that you know, when I first finished playing football, and then. Yeah, basically, I've just made a transition to. I've just moved up to the Gold Coast just to enjoy the lifestyle and the weather and a few cold beers up here on the Gold Coast. So I've done that at the moment. I've got two young boys who are starting to play a little bit of football and enjoying it. And I've been going over to the US a few times to pick up old American muscle cars and do them up and sell them at the moment. So that's a bit of a hobby that I've always sort of been into. So no, just enjoying the lifestyle up here in surface.
Make sure you use plenty of sunscreen on that head, mate. The sun's harsh in Queensland.
don't worry, I slap on the top of this ball noggin anyway. So yeah, I'm looking after myself up here, so no dramas at all.
So you're not going to head over to the Gold Coast Knights Club and watch Croatia play Cameroon tomorrow morning?
What's that? Yeah, I should head up there. I actually watched the Croatia and Brazil game at home, but yeah, I think I might have to go watch the Croatia down at the Gold Coast Knights and maybe go have a few chibachi and a couple of bottles of dakia and stuff like that with them. So we'll see.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time today, Danny. All the best, mate.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.
Good on you.
We'll just finish off with, obviously, tomorrow's fixtures. So we've got Australia vs Netherlands, we've spoken about. We've got Cameroon and Croatia, which we spoke about with Danny. So if you're on the Gold Coast, you want to get a bit of a shove up into you, head down to the Gold Coast Knights.
Yes.
But even better, head up to Brisbane so you can Arrivederci Pizza, have a meet-along pizza. You might be able to order a shivapi pizza. Who knows?
Yes. So if you're in Queensland, you might have stayed up celebrating State of Origin, and you can going to kick on and not sleep and watch the Socceroos. No better place to watch it in Brisbane than Arrivederci's Pizza.
Very close to Suncorp. You can literally go straight from the stadium to Arrivederci, have a beer in your hand, have a pizza in the other, and just yell nonsense at a team in yellow.
It would be weird if they were at the stadium.
It's the games in Sydney.
This is the Football Sacks Rugby League podcast. Expert opinion.
It might be like, did you see the shot of the Netherlands in Eindhoven, the stadium for the Dutch game against Spain? It was packed out. They filled out an entire stadium.
Or the stadium in Germany, which is just full of couches.
Yeah, that was even better, I thought. Yeah, brilliant. That's a great way.
See, I went down to Oaks Oval in Lismore, but no one was there.
Yeah. Don't turn up to don't turn up to Suncorp Stadium because they are not advertising anything's on. Please don't say that we sent you. Go to Arrivederci's Pizza instead. We should also thank SMG.
They are very good friends of ours. They helped get us some sponsors. And so if you guys need sponsors, if you're a club or an organisation, just hit up SMG Australia, just Google them, and you will be flying.
We're flying as well, out the door and home to watch the Socceroos. And we are going to talk to you tomorrow with a special guest lined up. Should we mention it? No, let's not, because they keep cancelling on us, so we can't.
Yeah.
Let's just say a professional footballer in Australia who doesn't play in the A-League.
Yeah, yes, that's right. And let's leave it at that.
Who could it be?
Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do. It's not Danny Teato, I'll tell you that much. All right, thanks for joining us. See you. Say bye, Pat.
See you.
You're not going to wave this time? Yeah. Why, if you're not going to give me the finger like you did yesterday. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. See you, Christian.
You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.